All right, we are back here. And before we start a new hour, the Bills Mafia was out in full force last night, including Pinto Ron. You know, he loves this. You know, the condiments. What do we think here?
It's horrendous. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish? No. Like, what is the – so is this fun?
Like, I'm watching. Like, presumably Pinto Ron's going to go to the game. Like, does he go home and take a shower? Like, what do you do? Like,
you hose off? Yeah.
I don't know, Dan. I don't feel like his commitment to cleanliness is
– I don't either. But you got to sit there all night.
Hygiene.
Around you, you're gonna smell like mustard. Yeah. I don't know, man. Buffalo's a different place.
It's a different place.
It's a different kind of place.
Getting backdropped on the regular on the table. So, yeah. I mean, I can't say this is the craziest thing I've seen there for sure.
Absolutely it is pretty not. Gross.
I'll say this though to the hashtag Bills Mafia. That team is legit this year, my friends. With that, we welcome you back live. As always, we are at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. RG3 is being baptized into our little Tuesday group, and we're having some fun. 336 miles apart last night in Philadelphia and Buffalo. We may have seen a Super Bowl preview. Roll the Eagles. Here we go. Game of the night. Eagles-Vikings showdown between two good teams in the NFC, right? Well, you're half right. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles showed up on a third down. He's looking for his new favorite target, Dominique, and that's A.J. Brown.
He ate this zone up all night. He's set in the pocket like a pocket passer who also has some athleticism, as you can see right here.
And some power. Look at him, RG3, taking it home.
Yes, he's not afraid to use his legs, and that's how you do a gritty. Come on!
Someone show that to Gesicki. At the start of the second quarter, this is Quez Watkins, Dominique.
Oh, it's an outstanding read by him. That's not normally the number one look, but both of the players set on the seven route, so he hit him for the touchdown. Why not?
Hurts starts the game 10 for 10, 153 yards. Eagles up 14-0. Now, Kirk Cousins doing his best to hang around. They have the big offense last week. In this case, he's going to find Irv Smith Jr., and it's 14-7, and you figure maybe we got ourselves a good game. And you know what, Jeff, Saturday? Jalen Hurts was figuring other things. Look at him. He's not going out of bounds.
This is unreal. Third and two, takes a conversion, and look, I'm not going to go out of bounds. Let me get some of this. Drive those legs, stretch it out. What a way to finish a play. I was a little scared, but happy he got in.
Eagles up 21-7, so their offense took care of business in the first half, and then the defense showed up in the second. Dominique, it's Darius Slay.
Oh, well, you got a big lead. It's just fun time now. DB's back there just catching balls that are thrown right to him. I guess it was good coverage.
He gave it to James Harden, who didn't pass it to anybody. Ensuing drive, Eagles a 41-yard field goal, RG3. What happens here?
Oh, Patrick Peterson with the block, but come on, my man. You cannot get caught by the kicker.
No.
He is not living that down the
road. Shows you true speed.
Next Vikings possession, however, it's Cousins and Jeff. What is this?
Listen, like he said, Santa is back. Santa is back. You cannot be giving gifts like that, Kirk Cousins. Good play, but can't have it.
And then now we're third and goal, and it's Cousins. Darius Slay was like his favorite target last night.
Yeah, I don't know if he owed him money or something, but he's trying to pay off his debts by throwing him pigskins, and Darius Slay going to catch them all.
He threw three picks, Cousins did last night. The Eagles dominate on both sides of the ball. What a statement that was, and primarily from the quarterback. 300 passing yards and multiple rushing touchdowns. Only Michael Vick had ever done that before in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I have my quarterback sitting next to me here in RG3. It feels like there were a lot of questions coming into the season about Jalen Hurts, maybe even inside the organization. Is two games too quickly to say he has answered them?
No, it's not too quickly. And Jalen Hurts has played himself into the way too early NFL MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. He almost had 400 yards of total offense. Right. The guy was straight balling, and all that work he put in the offseason is really paying dividends. But I think what people have to pay attention to is the fact that this guy is 7th in the league in passing and 10th in rushing. And a lot of that has to do with that offensive line. He has the best offensive line in all of football.
Reach them.
And now he has a true number one wide receiver. And we've seen the impact that Stephon Diggs has had on Josh Allen. And now you're seeing the impact that A.J. Brown has on Jalen Hurts, opening up the entire field for him. It's just fun to watch. This team is a Super Bowl favorite.
Jerry Krause, who built the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls championship teams, once said, players don't win championships, organizations do. And while he was much maligned for that quote, I sort of understood what he meant. This is an organizational success in Philly, isn't it?
They bring in a coaching staff that is willing to work with Jalen Hurts, right? They're not going to try and say, you know, we want a certain type of player. The best coaches are the ones that say, here's what I have, here's how I'm going to try and win with it. So Jalen Hurts has a lot going for him, but he also had a lot to work on two off seasons ago and last off season. But the beautiful thing about it is the Eagles sit there and say, hey, great work this year. Here's what we want you to work on in the offseason. This guy goes and does it. And he really does it. You know, he works in the offseason. He works at training camp. He's better at the things he wasn't good at last year, right? And that sounds simple. But development is such an overlooked thing when we talk about the NFL. People think a guy comes in the league and that's who he is. This is the example of what you want from a guy you draft in the second round because you think he can be special. Right now, it looks like he's got what he needs inside of him to get there.
He looks good. The offensive line, to give you, you know, let you toot the horn a little bit, is maybe the best in the entire NFL. The defense looks really good. Are the Philadelphia Eagles the best team in the NFC?
They are the best team in the NFC. And listen, when you talk about A.J. Brown and what he's brought to this offense, the ability to go over the middle and open this offense. Listen, the hardest throws for quarterbacks to make are outside the numbers. So where's easy money? It's inside. So you go get a guy who's going to be your number one and isn't scared to go across that first catch that we saw in the highlights. It's a third and 11. He's going up and getting it. I mean, those type of things are plays that give quarterbacks confidence, and he can continue to build on those things. Couple that with a run game that just throws out a buck 89 on the ground like it's no big deal. And I understand Hurts is part of that running game, so it is a little bit different than everybody else. But man, every part of this offense is rolling, and it's all being conducted by Jalen Hurts. He has command of that offense unlike he's ever had in his career. It's a thing of beauty.
You buying all this, Nick? Are you all in on the Eagles? You're the one who told me actually they were going to the Super Bowl before anyone was saying.
Yeah, I mean, they were talented enough, and I think I was a little bit nervous about saying it because of where Jalen Hurts was, but I'm not nervous anymore. Mm. He made the hard stuff look easy. He sat in that pocket against a defense that shut down Aaron Rodgers a week ago, and he did the things that he couldn't do last year. He sat in the pocket, which he was terrible passing the pocket. He was also terrible against zone defenses last year, and that's all he saw was cover four, cover six, cover two. He saw all these zones all night, and he hit him in the middle. He hit him on the outside. He hit him over the top. He did everything you could do, and it looked like they were playing against a lower level of competition. He made it look so easy. And this is against a team that we thought was a real deal, or at least I thought was a real deal NFC contender.
Yeah, we ranked third last
year. They were up there high.
Now you got a real low.
You're not the
NFC.
We'll see. Yeah. We will do Dominique's power rankings a little bit later. Yeah. Last week he had Minnesota at number three. I have a suspicion they won't be there. They looked a little more like number two last night.
Oh my God. That's good.
I see what you did there.
Every now and again. But anyway, here's what I want to hear from you, RG3, very specifically, through the eyes of a quarterback. Right. What is he doing so much better? Because it's easy for me and all of the football fans to see, well, look how well he runs, and obviously he had it going last night. But very specifically, what is he doing better than he did last year? Hurts.
Yeah, well, I think, he went in the offseason and he worked on his mechanics. First of all, getting the ball out has a lot to do with how fast you can get the ball out. He's improved that. He's getting the ball out faster from that standpoint. And then secondly, I just look back to A.J. Brown. It's trust. Mm. When as a quarterback, when you have a wide receiver that you know, this guy's going to make me right. He has that now in A.J. Brown. And then what did? They got Devontae Smith more involved in this game plan. Yeah. So he has weapons at the tight end position, at the running back position, and outside at wideout. But for Jalen Hurts himself, he has confidence now. He has trust in the guys around him. And I just think that Dominique said it so much better in the first in the first hour of the show.
Yeah.
He's eating up zone coverage.
Yeah.
And if you play man coverage against this guy, he is going to run the ball, and he's going to make you pay.
Okay, so let's teach the football fans something. What does that mean? If he's eating up zone coverage, what does that – if they were able to beat him with zone last year, what did that mean for the Eagles? And now that he can beat that, what does it mean?
Yeah, so when you talk about zone coverage, it's all about your eyes. Your eyes have to be in the right place. If you're playing DB, you got to make sure your eyes are in the right place when you're watching the offense. So Jalen has improved his eyes where they need to be on every given play. And you'll see it right here. He's scanning the entire field. He's making sure he's throwing checkdowns. He's hitting A.J. Brown across the middle. And I just thought he did a great job last night of using his eyes to move defenders as well. Here, he's reading quarters coverage. right? They run the outbreak, both guys jump it, he hits the post over the top. It's those simple things, and when the plays are there, Jalen Hurts is hitting them consistently this year when he wasn't last year.
It's beating zone is particularly important for a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, because the point that Robert was making about their eyes, when they're in zone, everyone's eyes is on the quarterback.
Yep.
You can't really have big breakaway runs like that. So if you stink against zone as a passer, and that takes away his running ability also.
Yes.
So when they play man against him, then he might have one guy in front of him that he has to beat if he decides to tuck it around, or none. So if you can't play zone against him, or you can't play man against him, you're going to have to blitz him, which opens you up to big plays.
When they're playing man, their backs go with the receiver.
Right.
So they're not watching the quarterback anymore. So if he pulls it down, what we saw last night on the 3rd and 2, he goes for 20 and scores a touchdown, right? Everybody turns their back. There I go.
So that's what you watch for as you watch the Eagles going forward in their season. Let's have a moment on the other side, because we can make fun of Dominique all we want, and Lord knows I'm here for that. But I was with him. Like, I was all in on the Vikings, their new coach, this explosive offense, and everything else, what they did to Green Bay last week. Last night was a real reality check, wasn't it? What do we say about the Vikings on this morning?
It's different. 1 week really isn't enough to tell us what's going on. 2 isn't either, honestly. But I thought the game last night was fascinating because both teams look so good, and you're looking for NFC contenders, right? Because it seems thinner than the other conference. So, like, which one's going to look – well, it was clearly answered which one is better right now. So in terms of Minnesota, look, it's a new coaching staff. They learn a new defense, new offense, all like that. They look fantastic week one. There's probably going to be ups and downs. They still have just as many good players as they had last week.
But you were making the point earlier, Dominique, that Justin Jefferson looked frustrated.
He did
last night.
I mean, it reminds me some of Stephon Diggs when he was there. Waving it. Justin Jefferson did it last year, too, in the back of the end zone, kind of putting his hands up like, what's going on? He's doing it again this year. What's going on? That's a tough thing to have when your number one receiver is getting shut down and is probably frustrated about it because he doesn't want to have to go home and listen to that.
Let me say this about Joe. That first interception where Slay stepped forward, he's got to get across the deep. That's on the receiver. So there's enough to go around. I will say this about Minnesota. I expected them to do more to harass Jalen Hurts. The Eagles offensive line did a fan because
they got
after Green Bay. Man, they were stuck at the line. He had all day sitting in that pocket. I know everything got better, but that was the deciding factor for me, because if you're playing from behind and your quarterback's got all day, man, it bodes well for the Eagles.
Yeah, but Greeny, you said it that Darius Slay was probably Kirk Cousins' favorite target last night.
Yeah.
But let's give Slay the honor that he deserves.
Absolutely.
He shut down Justin Jefferson. He's been this guy for years. He always follows a team's best receiver, and he should have had 4 interceptions last night. He dropped a couple of them, but he played his tail off, and I think we got to give him his due.
He had 2 in total. Cousins threw 3. That's been a question there in Minnesota for a long time. Do they need an upgrade to the quarterback position? People are going to wake up today thinking the answer, at least for the moment, feels like yes. In the meantime, so the Eagles make their statement. How about the Bills last night?
Wow.
2 games down, the Bills might be exceeding the impossibly high expectations we had for them this year. If you haven't seen it, you need to see what they did last night. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, Mitch Trubisky struggled mightily. The coach talked yesterday about it. What does it mean? Are they about to make a change? The answers are next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back. So we showed you what the Eagles did last night. Well, 336 miles away, the Bills were hosting the Tennessee Titans. And you know what? They opened up a can from the very beginning. Jeff Saturday, Josh Allen, first drive of the game, running for a first down.
Third and nine. We ain't taking our foot off the gas. Go get it. Extend the drive, Green, even though you don't like it.
He doesn't need to take that hit early in the game, but that's neither here nor there. Meanwhile, RG3, Allen, Reggie Gilliam.
I mean, yes, if Reggie Gilliam is breaking tackles and scoring on you, you really have a problem. The Bills have everybody rolling. Fun to see.
They were playing without Gabe Davis last night, so they had Gilliam at one point, and then, Dominic, this is Jake Kumerow from 39 yards.
Like RG3 said, I didn't know that man's name yesterday morning, but I'm going to learn it because Josh Allen throwing it to him. Good catch, Kumi.
Then let's find someone whose name you know. How about Stephon Diggs?
Oh, he's that bad man on the receiving corps. That was a really good play by Josh Allen, recognizing the breakdown and coverage immediately and throwing across his body.
17-7 now, third quarter. Jeff, how about this throw?
Look at this. Dialed up, yeet. I mean, my word. Like, first of all, the DB almost on his butt. Watch him right here.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, look, hey, just start jogging, bro. Don't try to just start jogging. You know that smoke? You know, just pull off.
Bills up 24-7, then Ryan Tannehill, and we got ourselves a tip drill, Dominic.
Oh, yeah, we got a tip drill. Those are the type that we guarantee going to catch. I know you like to laugh at DBs. We don't got no hands. We caught that one, though.
Jordan play for Poyer you. With the interception. Four plays later, RG3, it's Allen again. It's Diggs again.
Yeah, easy play action, and it doesn't matter if the DB's inside leverage. Stephon Diggs is always open. Go ahead, break it down. Do your dance right here. Just
can't let him
touchdown. Man, that's beautiful.
It looked like it was covered, right? And then it just can't stop at 34-7, and then it's Tannehill. Here's Matt Milano saying, you know what? Our defense hasn't scored as many points as the opposition tonight, so I'm going to do that. He takes it in for the score. So Buffalo's defense scores 7. Tennessee scores 7. The Bills' offense scores the other 34. And that's the difference in the game. Josh Allen just continues to be ridiculous. All right, so including the playoffs, yesterday was his fourth consecutive game with four total touchdowns. These are the only players, the ones on your screen, who've ever done that before. It's Peyton, it's Breeze, it's Marino. I know it's early in his career, but it does not seem unreasonable to say he is on a trajectory, RG3, where he could wind up being talked about with some of those all-time great quarterbacks.
Oh, undoubtedly. And you look at the Bills, like they just beat they went on the road and beat the reigning Super Bowl champ.
Right. Yep.
Then they beat the number one seed in the AFC last year.
Yep.
And they made both of them look like JV teams.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So I just look at it this way. The best thing that ever happened to Josh Allen was them trading for Stephon Diggs.
There you go.
His impact on Josh Allen is unsurmountable. I mean, listen, in year one together, he helped raise Josh Allen's completion percentage 10.4% from 58% to 69.2%. Josh Allen threw for 17 more touchdowns and 1,455 more yards. This impact of a true number one wide receiver who knows how to get open, who knows and understands coverages, has had an unbelievable impact on Josh Allen. And you see the impact that it's had because Josh Allen is now playing like Superman.
Look at the numbers that Diggs put up last night. 12 catches, a buck 48, and 3 touchdowns. You know what it occurs to me, Graziano? You were here with me on that Friday morning right after their first game. And I said to you, the one question we had about Buffalo coming in, and maybe about Allen, was with the departure of the offensive guru and Josh Daboll, who's now coaching the Giants, and awfully well, it seems. You know, would he take a step backwards? And he seems to have answered that question, too.
He has. But think about Buffalo. You talk about organizational success. Brian Daboll leaves to coach the Giants. He's been the offensive coordinator all four, the first 4 years of Josh Allen's career. But Ken Dorsey had been the quarterback's coach for three of those years.
Yeah.
And they elevate him to offensive coordinator. He learned under Daboll. He's got talent. He knows he and Allen have a fantastic relationship. And so there's trust there. So it's not just developing the quarterback, which they've done, obviously, brilliantly. They develop coaches, like the entire organization. People are going to continue to get hired from this staff. I swear one of these times Leslie Frazier is going to get a real look. I'm telling you, it'll happen.
Cross fingers.
Because people want a part of what's going on there, and they're doing it the right way.
So here's the problem with the Bills. They're so good, I can't think of questions to ask. I don't know how to try and figure out where the conversation goes. Maybe it's this. Jeff, Saturday, you have that palatial estate. Your wife is here visiting today. Yes. But she's not going to like it if you bet the house and lose it. I'll tell you that right now. The Bills or the field in the AFC?
All in on the Bills.
All in.
Listen, I picked them preseason. This team, not only is their offense, and we talk about Josh Allen and Stephon and Diggs, like all of it is deserved. Their defense and the addition of Von Miller coming over on defense, he closes drives and he closes games. And I'm telling you from an offensive perspective, when you have that type of player that you know when the game is on the line, he can impact it. Yep. It shakes up the entire offense. I respect the way they do. And Coach McDermott, Sean McDermott, done a great job. Not only are they tough physically, they are a mentally tough football team. And they understand they gave one away last year. They're still upset about that, and now they're making their way this season.
You said he closes games. When you have an offense that's as high-powered as the Bills have, it's important to have a guy like this because the team's going to be trailing. They're going to be dropping back to pass. Von Miller's going to be coming off the edge. And it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to stop what Stephon Diggs is doing. He's doing genuine dances in the end zone, and I guarantee you that game started at 7, and it was over by 9 o'clock.
You know what I'm talking about.
Paige and you.
Yes, I'll pretend I do too. Here's the question. So I was looking at next week's matchups. The Bills, short week, right? Yep. They play Monday night. Now they go on the road to play the Dolphins, who are red hot and probably feeling awfully good after that big performance. And it's going to be, 100 degrees with 1,000% humidity and all that kind of stuff. Do the Bills go down there and make quick work of them? That's an interesting question to me.
I think they do. And what Dominique just said is really, really important, right? Because the Ravens couldn't close the game. The Ravens did have a big lead on the Dolphins, right? The Browns had a lead on the Jets. The Raiders had a lead. We are living in a time when the offenses are so explosive and can score so quickly that the ability to stave off the comeback before it starts is massive. And the Bills not only have Von Miller, but they're deep up front. They can rotate those guys through so they're not exhausted in the fourth quarter. There's a lot to love.
I'm trying to find someone who maybe can play with them. They will play Kansas City. October 16th. That's a good matchup.
I actually think the Miami game could be tough because the weakness on that defense is the corners, and the strength of that Miami offense is those receivers. It's going to be hot as hell down there. It's going to be a tough game for them to play in that condition.
I just did it. I thought of the question.
Yes.
I'm channeling my inner Monday Dan. Can they go 17-0? Can the Bills go 17-0? Can they go? Are they perfect? Can anybody beat them? Come on, Saturday.
No, they can't.
You were on a team that should have been perfect.
Yeah, they won't.
Sure. They're on fire right now.
I know. Bill Polian did. He still crushes me today. Just think about it. We should have gone on the field.
Yes,
but
no,
they will not.
No undefeated. No. Do I have
a? I'm going to say no, but I'm going to answer your question about the difference between last year and this year for the Bills. It's Von Miller. Von Miller is the Tom Brady of defensive ends.
Yeah.
He is the reason that this team is playing at such a high level. He is the Super Bowl whisperer, and I think he deserves that credit because not everything that he does shows up on the stat sheet.
Right.
He didn't have any sacks last night, but you saw him impacting plays.
Yeah.
And I think Von Miller and the addition of Stephon Diggs has Josh Allen rising to the Iron Throne.
So maybe last night between ESPN and ABC, you saw a Super Bowl preview of the Eagles on one side, the Bills on the other. We've shown you those two so far this hour, but we're just getting started as we continue. Patrick Mahomes has been awesome. Josh Allen is astounding. Which has the better team? Our NFL power rankings through 2 weeks. We'll answer that question. Neek is ready to go. And we'll see if Graziano can answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. Which team has the record for most double-digit wins in a season? We need the team and we need the year.
Ooh,
that's the question. The answer is next. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and here we go. Sneaky Hembo is ready for Graziano today. So the Bills look like they could be one of the most dominant teams we've ever seen. Which NFL team has the record for most double-digit wins in a single season?
I was racking my brain for dominant teams. I'm thinking about that 07 Patriots team that went undefeated till the Super Bowl. But offensively, I think the one that stands out to me that was so dominant nobody could stop me is the greatest show on turf, Rams of 1999.
Give it to him.
That's correct. That's
woo! Right. Yeah! There you go. Pose on him, Gross.
The 07 Patriots were next.
Of course they were.
You named the teams that were 1 and 2. The Rams did it 13 times. The 07 Patriots did it 12 times. That is Dan Graziano just getting it done. And so let's put the scoreboard up here. And I believe that it is Graziano versus Hembo. Let's take a look here as we're blocking it. 23-16. Graziano is up a touchdown as we work our way over this. So the Bills clearly look to us like they are the best team in the National Football League so far. Let's see if Dominic Foxworth agrees. Last week, he gave us his power rankings, his fundamental list of the top 5 teams in the sport. Week 2 power rankings. Dominic, take it away.
Let's get right to it. Dolphins, number 5.
Wow.
They have 2 really impressive wins. One was a defensive win. The next one was a crazy offensive win. Finding ways to win, and they're pretty much unguardable, it seems like, on defense. The Ravens made a lot of mistakes to make it easy on them, but it's hard. They're 2-0 right now. It's hard not to have them on this list with a quarterback that's playing really well and really smart. Number 4, I got the Buccaneers. That defense, so this is not the same as the previous team. They do not have offensive wins and defensive wins. They got defensive wins and then some more defensive wins. They have the best defense in football right now, and they have the greatest quarterback of all time to be able to make just enough plays to get the job done. So I like this team at number 4, but they are not the best in the NFC. That's the Eagles at number 3. What we saw last night against a Vikings team that I thought was pretty good, and I still think they're really talented and they're a pretty good bunch, but the Eagles dominated them. They couldn't get any pressure on Hurts, and he sat in the pocket and ripped them apart. The secondary seemed like they could cover the best receiver in football in Justin Jefferson, and they couldn't run the ball on them either. They were a dominant team last night. And number 2, got to put the Chiefs at number 2. It hurt my heart a little bit to put them at number 2. They've had a couple really impressive wins. Well, I wouldn't say really impressive wins. They have a couple impressive wins. They beat the Chargers, who a lot of people think are a real Super Bowl contender. They have Patrick Mahomes, which means that they're always going to be up in the top 3 somewhere. Their defense is still coming along, made big plays to close that game out. But, I mean, this is easy. You know who it is. It's the Bills. They dominated 2 very good football teams. And I know the Titans aren't as good as they were last year. They lost some parts. But the way that the Bills played, they treated them like they were not good teams. And so you can only play who's on the schedule, and you better blow them out if they aren't good. So, yeah, this list is perfect. So we can go ahead and move to the next segment, Greeny. There's nothing else to talk about.
It's not as controversial as last week when you had the Vikings up there so close to the top. But do you see something you're missing?
Yeah, 5. So the Dolphins win. They're down 21 in the fourth quarter, y'all.
Yes.
You know what the record is for the teams like that? 0-711.
Not anymore.
Okay. The Ravens gave that game away. Oh. Absolute god-awful on the backside of that defense. So I like the Dolphins. I'm not saying that they should be at number 5. The number 5 team should be the Green Bay Packers. And you can hate on this, but this is the reality.
Okay.
That team's defense is top-notch.
Their quarterback, again, like you put the Bucs, is going to be one of the top in the league, and those receivers will catch fire. And they got smart, started using their running backs, which I know you hate, in both sides of the game. That's the number five team in the NFL.
They may get there. That might be a projection.
Yeah. No.
Interesting pick.
At this
minute. Right this
one
minute?
Game? Right now, they're better than the Dolphins. Right now.
Robert, who do you think is missing on this?
Well, you know, I'm not a hater of any teams, but I know why you're picking the Packers. I thought they did a good job of moving to the running game. But the fifth team should be the Chargers. Okay, you talk about the Packers. They just lost to a team
that
we saw get dominated by the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Chargers played the Chiefs extremely close. Who else? Yeah. Dominique is the number two there.
Yeah.
So the Chargers should have won that game against the Chiefs. They gave that away. So I look at them and I say, hey, they should be in the five spot. And I like Tua and the Dolphins. But right now, that's premature.
I'm with you. The interesting thing, and our executive producer, Pete, brings this up to me all the time. The thing about the Chargers, we're all so impressed with them. They always lose. Like, we always, when are they going to win one of these games? I love Justin Herbert. I love him. I think they have. It seems they have almost all of the pieces. Almost. And yet, every game you think of that impresses you about them is a loss. Look how close they were to doing this.
Right.
Look how close they were to doing that.
That's true.
At what point do they actually do it?
So what you're saying is we just wasted time because the list was perfect when I put
it out there. Anytime you play the number two seed that close, you should
y'all
be in the top
to
five.
On undefeated 2-0, put them at five.
You took the easy road.
Yeah. Let me get to a team that has frequently over the course of time been on this list and certainly doesn't belong on it now. And that's Pittsburgh. The Steelers losing to the Patriots 17-14 this weekend. Mitchell Trubisky in the offense struggling and fresh off a preseason quarterback battle with Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin isn't worrying yet about his quarterback situation.
I'm going to exercise appropriate patience and continue to teach and ask the guys to continue to learn in an effort to continue to push this train down the track and get better. I think that if anyone is sitting here on, you know, on Monday in week two of this thing feeling happy, they're probably wrong or misinformed.
Okay, I love listening to him talk. I could listen to Mike Tomlin talk all the time. But when you hear a coach through 2 weeks of the season speaking of an experienced veteran quarterback saying we need to exercise appropriate patience, what does that mean, Jeff?
Yeah, caution. Right, like if we're gonna be patient, why aren't we patient with a rookie? That because if you have the vet in there, you have him in there for a reason. That you can make challenging throws at appropriate times during a football game. And right now, if you have him in handcuffs, not allowed to go do what he needs to go do, you're hurting your football team. So I understand why they went with Trubisky. I thought that was the best play, but not if you're telling me we can't challenge the Patriots down the field because they're really good at stopping big plays. I mean, there's a lot of good, but you still got to go attack them to open up that offense. I didn't love that. Again, if we're gonna be patient, let's be patient with a rookie.
I mean, I agree with you. However, I don't know if the patience is all because of Mitch or if the patience is because of the offensive line.
Right.
So Mr. Trubisky can't be patient in the pocket. So like, if we're looking if we're looking for Mitchell to attack down the field, we got to get some big dudes
come
up front
on
that can protect
there you
them.
Go. Come
and
on
we,
over,
and we
baby.
Also got to run the ball.
That is the question, RG3, as you watch the Steelers. There will not be a worse win in the entire NFL season than the one the Steelers offense got week one. When Joe Burrow That's gave true. Them the ball on seemingly every other play, and they needed 70 minutes to kick a long field goal to find a way to actually win that game. And then this past week, they do nothing against New England. Is the problem with the quarterback or is the problem with the protection?
I think the problem is with the protection. I think Mike Tomlin has earned our trust. He has basically given Mitch time. And he's saying, listen, you got a couple more weeks, man. If you don't really get it together, I'm going to go put Kenny Pickett in there. Because here's the reality. Kenny Pickett outplayed Mitch Trubisky in the preseason. It's just that Mitch didn't Mitch it up enough to allow him to get replaced. I just feel like what can Mitch Trubisky do that Kenny Pickett can't? Kenny Pickett has shown he's athletic. He's shown that he can throw with timing and rhythm. And guess what he doesn't have? He doesn't have bad memories. That's the difference between him and Mitch. And I think if you put Kenny Pickett in there, it will be a spark for the entire team. But I trust Mike Tomlin, and I understand that he is seeing things that we're not, and he's trying to protect his rookie quarterback. Yeah. He's going to allow Mitchell Trubisky to run this thing out for a few more games, and if it doesn't improve, Pickett will be in.
Danny, what do you think? What are people around there saying?
Yeah, look, someday Jeff Saturday is going to start listening to the rest of us about how important the offensive line is. I don't know why he doesn't get it. But, look, they don't trust the protection. I mean, like, there's no question about it. You can see that. And Mike Tomlin he's talking about patience. I think he's talking about the entire operation, the entire offense. The hope is the line gets better as the season goes along. And they think it will. They can't run the ball right now.
No.
Najee Harris is getting tackled in the backfield before he even gets to the line. So that has to get better. So, yeah, you trust Mike Tomlin. Obviously, he's been through, well, not necessarily this, but he's been through stuff before, and he knows how to coach his team through it. So he's saying if we want to sit here and call for a quarterback change on Monday after week two, we're misinformed. He has more information than we do about what's going on there, and a lot of that has to do with what he can expect of the offense regardless of who the quarterback is.
Now, sometimes stats can tell whatever story you want them to tell. In this case, they can only tell one story. The offense stinks. So the question that makes me think of is, like, we came into the season saying, ooh, the AFC North could be one of the great divisions, you know, right up there with the West. Well, the Bengals are 0-2. Yep. The Ravens just gave a game away in ridiculous fashion to Miami. The Browns have all of their problems, and they lost to the Jets. Yeah. They gave a game away, and the Steelers' offense looks terrible. Who's the best team in that division?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think they have the far better quarterback of anybody in the division, and they also have, like, a stable organization. I think the Steelers are an organization that's stable, but they don't have an offensive line or a quarterback. So, as bad as the Ravens looked in the fourth quarter yesterday, I trust them more than any other team.
Are you buying anybody in that division?
I am not. Listen, the Ravens have the worst pass defense over the last 19 games of anybody in the NFL. That is not the Ravens. Like,
that is true.
You can't give away a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. They have to get better, and it can't just be all about Lamar, because at some point that we've seen injury, they're going to mount up. It's just going to be too difficult.
I mean, and that's why those stats are so bad, because of the injuries. Like, saying those last 19 games, everybody was hurt last year. So that, and they're getting people hurt again this year. I understand that, but still, they found a way to be competitive last year. I trust them more than I trust the Bengals, and the Steelers don't got the players.
We'll see. That division is off to a very shaky start. Meanwhile, the U.S. men's national team has two more friendlies before the start of the World Cup. They will play the first one Friday against Japan in Dusseldorf, Germany. We'll have it for you on ESPN2 and ESPN+. Coverage starts 8 a.m. Eastern with a kickoff at 8:25. All right, coming up, who had the Dolphins hosting the Bills in Week 3 as the game of the year? Do Tua and Tyreek have a chance against their division rival? The answer might surprise you. Next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back on Get Up, and it is time for Three's Keys, RG3, with three observations from the weekend. Robert, take it.
And we're starting with Kyler Murray. He led his team back from down 20 points, and he did it everywhere you could possibly imagine, running around, throwing the ball. Right here, he's running around on a PAT like he just stole a cookie from a cookie jar, and he earned every bit of the money that they paid him this offseason. You see, this man ran for like 85 yards to score this one right here. He's showing everybody that he's doing his homework. What a score, man. Kyler Murray, man. Nice. Awesome.
He looked
then. The next key is the Jets. We got to give the Jets their due.
Yes, we do.
Scoring 14 points in the last 90 minutes. I mean, the last 90 seconds of the game. And they got an onside kick. I mean, the Jets haven't had a win like this in a long time. So let's let them feel good about themselves.
spelled?
Yes.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Keep talking.
Hey, man, Joe Flacco looking elite. Look at this throw.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh, my Lord. Garrett Wilson, Robert Saleh. They kept the receipts. And they paid off. And last but not least, Tua and the Dolphins are hotter than fish grease right now. Okay, they came back from down 21 in the fourth quarter. Tua was throwing it all over the place. All the doubt, all the haters this offseason, doesn't matter. Tua went out there and proved that he can lead this team to the promised land. Even after throwing two early interceptions, his coach didn't doubt him. He said, Tua, I need you to go out there and sink or swim. And Tua swam with the best of them.
It did indeed. Now, I need to have a talk with the staff because somehow we decided we're going to focus on Miami after those three, instead of Garrett Wilson being the best player in NFL history, but we'll get to that a little other time. We touched on this a little earlier. I mean, the Bills have looked so good that it is almost as though no one can play with them.
Right.
This is an interesting measuring stick game, isn't it, for the Dolphins? There are no moral victories, but if that's a game late in the fourth quarter, which no one else has given Buffalo so far this year, maybe even that says something about the Dolphins.
Absolutely. I think that they've already made a couple statements. I know the Patriots aren't the Patriots of old, but it's still Bill Belichick. Yeah. And they went into the Ravens and knocked them off and came back against another great coach and a really talented team. So they are making statement after statement, but this will be a real statement. I think it's a winnable game. They're not as far away as I think we all would assume.
Are the Dolphins for real, Jeff Saturday? They are a legit contender in the AFC.
They are legit contenders. I will say two things that you want to see. And McDaniel, their head coach and office coordinator, they need to develop a more physical run game to couple with those receivers.
Yep.
But again, those guys going down the field, get the ball in their hand, yards after catch are absolutely incredible.
Neek's face was just priceless.
Have you ever found a problem in your life that you did not think running the ball was the solution for?
Very few in life.
That's an offensive lineman mindset.
Bro. It's a simple life. You know what I mean? You don't have to overcomplicate things.
The pandemic would have ended sooner if we had just run the ball.
I mean, simplicity works. Y'all trying to overcomplicate life, right? If you're better at this, you're going to be better at everything. So I'm just trying to help y'all.
What you're telling us is that a team that has Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on it needs to run the ball.
Yeah.
Yes, here's what I'll say.
Thank you.
They use the wide receivers as an extension of the running game. Their screen game, all those quick passes, the bubbles that you see Tua throwing, those are part of that running game. And when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you always have a chance.
I'd like to make another statement about Tua Tagovailoa. Because, okay. Dan, the theme of today's show has been organizational success in developing players, right? Josh Allen, the Bills brought him along exactly right. Jalen Hurts, it looks really good for the way the Eagles have brought him along. The absolute opposite of that is what Tua has experienced so far in Miami. He had an owner who wanted to lose games. He had a coach who clearly didn't believe in him. These are on the record. This is not made up. So the point is, now he's got an offensive-minded coach who does believe in him. Yep. They put all the pieces in place you could ever imagine around him, and maybe, just maybe, we will see the result.
No doubt. And look, it's a mixed bag in terms of Dolphins' confidence. They did pick him fifth, and they have put, you know, pieces around him. That, as you said, this is not a team that's been like a three-win team the last couple of years. They've been kind of right on the edge of the playoffs anyway. So you add Tyreek Hill, you bring in a coach that clicks better with Tua and builds up his confidence a little bit. Look, again, not to speak ill of the previous coaching staff, but there was a disconnect there. There's no question about it between the quarterback and they flirted open with Deshaun Watson. Like, we know all about that. So he's comfortable. He's confident. It is. It's nice to see. It's fun.
It's one thing to have those weapons. It's another thing to be able to utilize them. And I think Tua showed this week that he can do that. And I got a stat for you.
Yeah.
Shefty said this last night on Monday Night Countdown.
Go.
Justin Herbert's record as a starter, 16-18. Tua's record as a starter, 15-8. He's winning games. Even despite all of the organizational fluctuations that have happened, he's winning football games, and Tua is proving every doubter out there wrong. I don't want to hear any Tua hate for the next
don't
7 days.
Don't Jimmy G him, dog. Don't Jimmy
G him. I'm just saying, man.
They'll rain on the parade.
He's winning games.
Well, look, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the AFC. We came in saying, well, the AFC, all these teams, it all looks so, well, Denver looks terrible. The Raiders so far can't get out of their own way. The Bengals are winless. There's a lot of the Indianapolis, offense, it looks just horrendous.
My point
is, like, there's a little bit of up is down in the AFC, and there is room for a team like the Dolphins to sneak in there
and stun the world, isn't there?
I absolutely think so. And we talk about how the modern NFL is very high scoring. They can score with anybody.
Yeah.
And they don't have, as good as McDaniel is at scheming, they almost don't have to scheme sometimes. When you have certain guys that are just quicker, faster, and better than people, sometimes the scheme is get it to 10.
Yeah.
Keep throwing it to 17, and something good is going to happen. As a DB, I can tell you, there's only so many times you can stay close to them, only so many times you can tackle somebody like that before they break one.
How is that any different than the Bills? Throw it to Stephon, 12 for a buck, 48, 3 touchdowns. Like, don't overcomplicate it.
I mean,
keep it simple.
You're right. As long as you don't waste plays handing the ball off to people when you got aliens on the edge.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's hand it in the middle.
Isn't that funny? It's a flip side. We talk about Mahomes talking about how without Tyreek, he's going to go through progressions and go through the reads and whatever, because he used to just air it out to Tyreek, and then the flip side is Tua's down there going, wee!
Just airing it out to Tyreek.
He gave the wee!
The wee!
Respect it. Grimes got himself going.
There you go.
I'm going to say that was a moment you're going to live to regret.
Wee!
Saturday's got to go do first take. I got to show you what happened in baseball last night, because Max Scherzer pitched the perfect game and they took him out. He came back from injury. He threw six perfect innings. Then the Mets took him out. But on the night, they did clinch a playoff berth. Their first since 2016. It was Scherzer's 200th career win on the mound. Meanwhile, giving chase in the National League East, the Atlanta Braves. They beat the Nats behind Austin Riley's 37th home run. Kyle Wright notched his 19th win on the season. Braves won that one by a score of 5-2. In Tampa, Jose Altuve led off the game with a solo home run. That was enough for the Astros, who shut out the Rays 4-0. With the win, Houston clinches the AL West for the fifth time in the last 6 years. Coming up on First Take, not a bad night for Stephon Diggs. 12 catches, 3 touchdowns. How's he feeling this morning? Well, you can find out directly from him. He'll be live with the First Take crew. They follow us.
Love it.
Here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is brought to you by the all-new Lexus LX600. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. That is right outside our studio, and so is this.
Oh, hi.
Dominique, what's going on out there?
I don't know. They gummy bears? What's going on? I have no idea.
My kids would love that.
Just a very large pink bear is outside the South Street Seaport.
Yeah, man. Let's go get a picture.
I really don't have a comment to make, but I'm...
New York City, man. You never know. You just walk around and crazy stuff pops up.
I don't know.
Somewhat flabbergasted by what's going on. Speaking of teddy bears, let's move on here to our next order of business. We had the two Monday night statements that were made last night, 336 miles apart. The Eagles just crushing the Vikings in what was expected to be a close game. And then the Bills with their statement against last year's AFC 1 seed. So we're wondering, are these the two teams we saw last night that are going to make it to the Super Bowl? Well, Caesars has made some moves. The Bills are now a clear favorite to win it all, as you can see. Philly is now ahead of the Packers for the second shortest odds of any NFC team. And by the way, they have also gotten the eye of Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones doing his radio interview this morning, as he always does, saying they're going to be all we can handle. That's what he says of the Philadelphia Eagles. So, as we sort of wrap it up for today and get set to hand it off to our colleagues across the hall on First Take, I think we all agree. The Bills are the goods. If they stay healthy, they're clearly the team to beat. Did the Eagles show you last night they are the team to beat in the NFC?
I think so. I mean, and I'm bringing a little bit of confirmation bias to the table because I picked them before the season started, so I want to be right. But they sure made me look right last night, the way that they dominated a very good Vikings team, a Vikings team that dominated the Packers. So we go in transitive property. Yes, they're the best team in the NFC.
Agree or disagree, RG3?
No, I agree. They're the best team in the NFC right now, but the road still goes through the Tampa Bay Bucks, in my opinion. We know this league is all about being hot at the right time, and Buffalo and Philly are hot right now. I don't know if they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I know there's not two teams in the league that are having more fun than those two right now.
To your point, though, this isn't the right time. Yeah, the right time to be hot is in December, and the questions, particularly in the NFC, are about the two legendary quarterbacks. Yeah. What will Brady have, and what will Rodgers have when we get to that point?
Right, and Brady, I think the group around him gets healthier, right, which will help. And I think, you know, Rodgers, we're going to see if he can put together a passing game out of what he's got. I don't put that past him. And it's a project that they're working on. They can win in the meantime. Those two teams, I think, will be better by the end of the season than they are now, and that's what confronts the Eagles.
Green Bay, or at least Tampa Bay, has the defense that Rodgers was expecting to happen, hasn't had yet. So I have a little bit more confidence in Tampa Bay's defense carrying them, but nobody's better than them birds.
He's feeling fly, Eagles fly. Of those three teams, the six units that we're talking about, the Bucs defense is the best, for whatever that's worth. So, anyway, fun to watch last night. Fun to have RG3 here today. Have a terrific day. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now. What's the bear?